In spite of the apparently brilliant successes achieved by Germany under Bismarck, defeat of Austria in 1866, victory over France in 1871, followed by the foundation of the German Empire. In spite of all that, Marr, in his old age, despaired of the future of Germany and of Europe. He had come to see what was being secretly prepared, and as the plan developed, he became fully aware of the fact that all the efforts of himself and his fellow revolutionaries, past and future, were only stages in the preparation of the kingdom of the future Messiah. Here is how he expressed himself in his work, The Conquest of Germanism by Judaism, of which the second edition appeared in 1879. The date is worth noticing, for the words of the writer will seem all the more remarkable when it is borne in mind. Quote, "The advent of Jewish imperialism, I am firmly convinced, is only a question of time. The empire of the world belongs to the Jews. Woe to the conquered. I do not pretend to be a prophet, but I am quite certain that before four generations have passed, there will not be a single function in the state, the highest included, which will not be in the hands of the Jews. At the present moment, alone amongst European states, Russia still holds out against the official recognition of the invading foreigners. Russia is the last rampart, and against her the Jews have constructed their final trench. To judge by the course of events, the capitulation of Russia is only a question of time. In that vast empire, Judaism will find the fulcrum of Archimedes, which will enable it to drag the whole of Western Europe off its hinges once and for all. The wily Jewish spirit of intrigue will bring about a revolution in Russia such as the world has never yet seen. The present situation of Judaism in Russia is such that it has still to fear expulsion. But when it shall have laid Russia prostrate, it will no longer have any attacks to fear. When the Jews shall have got control of the Russian state, they will set about the destruction of the social organization of Western Europe. This last hour of Europe will arrive at latest in 100 or 150 years, seeing that nowadays things move much more rapidly than in former times. What Russia has to expect from the Jews is quite clear." End of quote. Dostoevsky, the well-known Russian writer, whose imperfect grasp of Christ's mission is calculated to make a deep impression on ill-instructed minds, also foresaw, between 1876 and 1880, the destiny which the Jews were steadily preparing for Russia and for Europe. These passages from his writings are, of course, hardly ever quoted, for the masters of publicity would not view it with favor. Quote, "Yes, Europe is on the eve of a terrible disaster. All those Bismarcks, Beaconsfields, Gambettas, and others, all of them are for me only a shadow. Their master, the lord of all the rest and of the whole of Europe, is the Jew and his bank. Judaism and the banks now rule over everything, over Europe as well as over socialism. In fact, in a special way over socialism, for by its help, Judaism will tear up Christianity by the roots and destroy Christian culture. And even if nothing but anarchy is the consequence, the Jew will be found in control. For though he preaches socialism, nevertheless, he remains outside socialism with his fellow Jews, so that when all the wealth of Europe shall have been ravaged, the Jewish bank alone will remain. The Jews will compass the ruin of Russia." End of quote. Of course, the big press of the world should publish the truth about the inner history of revolutions and revolutionaries, with the final results achieved by them. The big press is, however, so securely in the grip of financial interests that it is foolish to expect it to do so. Yet, surely, people should at least ask themselves why the names of the rich non-Jews, Rockefeller and Morgan, are known to everybody, while the names of Warburg and Kahn of the New York Jewish Bank of Kuhn, Loeb & Company are known only to relatively few persons. In his remarkable pamphlet, The Catholic Church and the Principle of Private Property, already referred to, Mr. Hilaire Belloc asked the questions, quote, "How many of those who have discussed the peace conference have heard the name of Kuhn, Loeb & Company, for instance? And of those who have heard it, how many can give even a half a dozen instances of their centers of action in Europe?" End of quote. Again, when non-Jewish financiers like Hatry and Kruger are detected in frauds, their names are dinned into the ears of the world, Yet how many of those who have heard of Lenin know that it was through the influence of the Jewish multimillionaire Israel L. Helpand, alias Parvis, that Lenin was dispatched in 1917 from Switzerland to Russia in a sealed train? Human history is dominated by the awful reality of man's fall from supernatural life. Man is a fallen being, and this is clearly visible in the functioning of his appetitive faculties.